Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, and David Janes here with you. We are proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. And I'm here to tell all of you, I believe it was Barry Manilow who said, "I made it through the rain." Maybe not today because it's raining a lot, but you made it through the metaphorical rain because NFL Draft Week is here. It's been more than 100 days, three-plus months, since the Tennessee Titans lost their final game of the regular season and clinched the number one pick in the NFL Draft. We've spent countless hours dissecting the draft, the players in the draft, one player in particular, that of course being Cam Ward. We've broken down his flaws. We've broken down his best traits. We've talked about how he compares to other quarterbacks who have been taken number one overall. But in 3 days' time, it is expected that Cam Ward will be the number one pick in the 2025 NFL Draft. So here's how I want to start today, and I want all of you to participate. I encourage your participation.
What is your favorite Barry Manilow song? That was impressive, by the way. Guy Adam's age pulling out a Barry Manilow reference.
At the right Copa.
Let's not go there. Don't get that. That is, no.
No?
We don't want that in our head.
All right, sorry.
It's in it now.
A nice ballad from Barry Manilow. Not too bad.
It's in your head now.
Now I'm all shook. All right. This is what I want to know from all of you at 615-737-1025. I'm taking a Cam Ward temperature check. How are you feeling about Cam Ward and the Titans probably taking Cam Ward as round one of the draft nears? Again, 3 days away. And we are all expecting, barring something completely unforeseen, that Cam Ward will be the number one pick in the draft. How are you feeling about that as we finally get there? Have your feelings changed on him between January and now? Are you more positive about Cam Ward? Are you feeling more negative about Cam Ward? I want to know how you feel because draft week is here. 615-737-1025. And while we await your responses, I'm going to ask that very same question to the gentleman to my right. So, Derek, Cam Ward temperature check. How are you feeling about him as round one of the draft approaches in 3 days?
I feel good about the pick. You know, I think they are doing the things necessary to try to improve this team in lieu of them drafting a quarterback. So I think they've done a good job at trying to fix the offensive line. Now, again, we thought they were fixing the offensive line somewhat last year, and it didn't go quite as well. Yeah, there were some improvements. But yet and still, they were considered one of the worst offensive lines in the National Football League. But bringing in Kevin Zeitler, Lloyd Cushenberry coming back, going to get Dan Moore, putting J.C. Latham more at his possibly natural position at right tackle. So now the one thing you have to have for a young quarterback to even thrive is a good offensive line. So I think they're doing the things necessary from an offensive line standpoint. Obviously, we know they still need pass catchers. I think Van Jefferson will be a good number three for them. Traylon Burks gives you something, he gives you something. But you need to go out there and find a guy that could potentially go with your number one pick in Cam Ward. So I feel good right now about the Titans drafting Cam Ward in the situation he's coming into. If this was last year, I'm not sure I would be feeling this way.
Willie, same question.
I've been consistent all along. I don't think that Cam Ward is the ideal first overall pick, but based on the unique circumstances of this year, which every year is a little bit different, and I think you could argue this isn't the perfect storm to have the first pick. If you're going to have the first pick, you'd love for Shaquille O'Neal to be, you know, somebody like that, the obvious first guy to just take all the decision making out of it. That's our guy. Let's start printing the jerseys right now and get a leg up on sales. I mean, sometimes it's that easy, right?
Sometimes it is.
But I think I am okay with them doing it if they truly believe that he's got a high floor, and even if he's not the end-all, be-all, which is, again, what we've discussed a lot. We've hit all of this. Mm-hmm. We had a great debate with Jared the one day about Paul Kuharsky's what if this were the ceiling. Mm-hmm. So I think if your expectations are realistic, then I'm okay with the pick. If your expectation is the first pick in the draft has to be a superstar, then I think be prepared to be disappointed.
But can't you say that that's probably where a lot of the fan base sit? That if you got the number one pick and you're drafting him number one overall, then there's an expectation. Whether the Titans put that expectation on him or not, there's still going to be this outside expectation of, you know, him coming in and him doing what Jaden Daniels did, him doing what C.J. Stroud did.
Oh, yeah.
Him doing what some of these young quarterbacks have done. They're still going to be that.
That's going to happen.
But the Titans.
And Cam Ward is going to have to deal with that, and the Titans are going to have to deal with that.
But that's something that I think the Titans, they need to make this very clear on the front end. Once they do draft him, I think there needs to be a message that goes out saying this is going to be a process. Because I don't think if you jump ahead of it, you can't then, you know, try to catch up to it once the narrative is out.
Yeah, so sometimes the first pick in the draft, who is a quarterback, mm-hmm. is Peyton Manning. Sometimes it's Troy Aikman. Sometimes it's Andrew Luck. But sometimes it's Jamarcus Russell. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's Drew Bledsoe. Sometimes, I mean, you see what I'm saying?
It's,
if you understand that, then I think you're okay. But fans don't understand that. Fans will ignore the history. Mm-hmm. And realize and don't always realize that the first pick in the draft, who is a quarterback, can be anywhere on the spectrum from total bust to Hall of Famer and everything in between. But Cam Ward's grades do not set him apart to where you think there's a chance mm-hmm. that he's Peyton Manning. But if he ends up being Drew Bledsoe or Baker Mayfield or somebody in the middle of that spectrum, that's still a pretty darn good quarterback. If it's a guy they want to sign to the second contract, we're getting way ahead of ourselves here, but I think we have to temper expectations as we wrap our arms around this pick, if that's where they go.
By the way, the odds of Cam Ward being the number one overall pick, according to FanDuel Sportsbook, -20,000. Now, I'm not a betting man, so I don't know how much you have to bet to actually make something off of that, but -20,000. Cam Ward is the overwhelming favorite to be the number one overall pick. Abdul Carter at +3,000. Travis Hunter at +5,000. Shedeur Sanders at +6,500. Jackson Dart at +15,000. So overwhelmingly, Cam Ward is expected to be the number one overall pick. And I was reading this article over the weekend in Sports Illustrated by Connor Orr about quarterbacks. And he posed a prompt to nearly two dozen former pro quarterbacks, current and former NFL coaches and executives, high-level NFL quarterback trainers, and agents of quarterbacks. If they had a child poised to be the number one pick but could game the draft in their favor, which team would they choose and why? Or allowed each participant to give three teams as their answer, and of course they were granted anonymity so they could speak more freely on the matter. And the results were interesting. One person did pick the Titans. And here was the quote that person gave. And Orr was quick to point out that the person who picked the Titans was not connected to the franchise in any meaningful way. Quote, "It's bad for a young quarterback to be in a big market. See Zach Wilson," of course, the Jets' number two overall pick in 2021. "A lesser media market is better for a young quarterback, and the new GM there is good and should get it right." So we don't think of ourselves as a lesser media market. We think we're a great media market. But compared to New York and Boston and other major cities, we're not on that level from a population standpoint. Do you buy into a quote-unquote lesser media market being a good thing for Cam Ward?
I think it doesn't. On one hand, yes, it does hurt. But there can be some benefit to not being in a big market because everything you do isn't scrutinized nationally. If you are the number one pick and you're going to New York, L.A., Chicago, Florida possibly, Vegas, they're going to talk about you, Detroit. They're going to talk about you a lot more. it's going to be national, more so of a national thing than not. But if you go to places like Cincinnati, and Cincinnati's a nice-sized city, but you go to places like Cincinnati, maybe even Cleveland, some of these up Jacksonville, some of these other franchises where you can sort of, you know, stay tucked away for a while and the heat is not ramped up as much. They give, it's almost like unless locally they really, you know, get on you, it's like they allow you to an extent to sort of grow into, you know, who you're going to be as a quarterback, or there needs to be more. They need to see more in order for you know, this thing to kind of become national news. Because you look at Will Levis, he wasn't even a first rounder. And it didn't become national news until when he started doing some of these, you know, boneheaded things. And then obviously with, you know, Brian Callahan, you know, throwing up his hands.
The Mayo
and,
cologne.
Yeah, the Mayo. But Brian Callahan throwing up his hands in the middle of a game, you know, yeah, toward the end of the game.
What the bleep are you
exactly
doing?
That brings attention to. But if he was just a bad quarterback and not doing something, no one would pay attention.
It's all relative, for sure. The heat of the microscope that you're under when you're with a New York team, Dallas.
Mm-hmm. Dallas
team. Even a Green Bay, you know, mm-hmm, a team that has the national following that some of the teams have, mm-hmm, a cross-section of the teams have. I would say, though, that in the NFL, you only play 16 games, and it's such a big audience that's watching that even in the smallest market, and I would say Nashville is among the smallest markets, right? It's in the bottom, mm-hmm, 10 for sure. That, and you mentioned Cleveland, mm-hmm, and Cincinnati, you're still under a microscope,
yeah,
at quarterback, right? So I don't think you can escape it, even if you're in a smaller market.
I think
we're gonna pick apart his game like you can't even believe. I remember Vince Young. I remember Jake Locker. I remember Marcus Mariota, Steve McNair. And it was very, very new. It was a new, mm-hmm, new market when Steve McNair came in. And the whole dynamic of Steve McNair, who ended up being borderline Hall of Fame, mm-hmm, he got picked through the microscope early on. When it was the Oilers and the team didn't have the big identity,
but it wasn't,
there was a lot of, is he going to make it?
But it wasn't from a national standpoint. Look at Trevor Lawrence. He's a prime example.
It was definitely not from a national standpoint. You're absolutely right. The national thing is a whole other stratosphere.
Exactly. If Trevor Lawrence plays the way he has been playing in New York,
oh boy,
L.A., places like Dallas, he would have been shredded each and every week. But because it's Jacksonville, he gets some of it, but it's not in the manner that maybe a number one pick in a bigger city would get.
But he's also, if we're using Jacksonville as an example, the Jaguars are the only game in town, right? That's the only team that city has.
In Major League Sports, no doubt.
So that adds to it as well. By the way, the results of this poll conducted by Connor Orr, most desirable landing spots, the Rams were number one by a wide margin with 14. A lot of confidence in Sean McVay. The Steelers were 2 at 9. The Vikings were 3 with 8 votes. The Packers and Ravens and Chiefs were tied with 5 votes each. There was another quote in this article that I found to be really interesting by Connor Orr, just talking about the changes in how quarterbacks are perceived today versus back when. One NFL offensive position coach said this, quote, "The scariest thing these days are when a young quarterback goes to a bad team with a new head coach. It's difficult to succeed. Quarterbacks need time to develop, and the public and owners just shred them now. The days of time to develop are gone. You have to win now, and the quarterback and head coach are first to get destroyed. Think if Peyton Manning or Jim Kelly or Troy Aikman had the records they had to start off in this environment."
It's a great point. Jimmy Johnson was the coach, and Troy Aikman was the quarterback.
Uh-huh.
And they were, I think, 1-15 the first year. I have to go back and double-check, but I'm almost positive that was what happened. And it looked awful. But I think back then there was a sense of, well, yeah, they were going to be awful. And then they, I think, jumped up to something like 7-9 mm-hmm. the next year. Aikman got hurt at the end of the year, or else they might have snuck in, maybe as a wild card. And then obviously they got unbelievably good, right, after that. But can you imagine the talk of, well, I don't know if Jimmy Johnson can be an NFL coach. Now, I'm sure they probably had that down in Dallas, but nationally, from where I was sitting, wherever I was back then, I guess I was coming into college, I didn't think anything of it. I was like, well, yeah, it's going to take a couple years for Dallas to get good.
Peyton Manning famously went 3-13.
Yeah. Led the league in interceptions.
In his rookie season. Now, I don't pretend to know what the media coverage was like about that in 1998, but I can't imagine it's anywhere close to what would have happened to Peyton Manning, like that quote said, if he went 3-13 in his rookie season in 2025.
Yeah, it's hard to and there was more leeway back then because it was all about having these quarterbacks. When they got drafted, they were drafted into longer term contracts, so you can sit them for 2-3 years and still have 4 years left to develop the guy before he gets to a contract. So you were allowed as a quarterback sort of to grow into who you were going to be. And, you know, it's not like that anymore. It's 1-2 years. And if you don't show us within that 2 years, if you're first pick, we maybe give you that third year. But if you're not showing it, then we're looking to move on. We don't have time to waste with you, nor do we have time to waste with definitely the head coach.
But the team can be bad and the quarterback look good. I would point to Drake May this year for New England. I think they saw some good things. They were like, hey, I think we've got something in Drake May, even though the team was awful. Mm-hmm. Peyton Manning, I think for sure, he led the league in interceptions, but I think you could tell that he was going to be good. He was going to be good. And of course, the next year, they made a huge jump, and you guys had to take him out in Indianapolis in the playoffs.
Yes.
But he made a jump from 3-13 to playoff team in 1 year. But you could kind of see it. There are times where I think they let the quarterback struggle a lot, and you ask yourself, should he be playing? I do think they might. It's possible the Titans could face that because their roster, if they go with Cam Ward number one and they don't trade for more picks, and even if they do, I don't know if they can surround Cam Ward with a good support system as well as they would like to.
Well, it's all about, what are their expectations? Is their expectations is to be better from a record standpoint, or is their expectation for this organization to be better just as a team? Because as you're getting better as a team, sometimes it may not, or the development of the team, is that what you want to see? More importantly, it's the quarterback. Do you see the development of quarterback? Because you can have a quarterback that's developing, but the team is sort of on a different tier than he is, meaning as a whole, the team is not as good, but you see the progress. So it may not end up ultimately in wins, but it ends up in, okay, I can see some of what I need to be seeing in regards to development of the quarterback. I see that. So is your expectation for the record or the development of the quarterback? Because ultimately that's what it's about. They feel you can develop the quarterback, then they are going to retain you as head coach.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's time for a Cam Ward temperature check. How are you feeling about Cam Ward potentially, most likely, being the Titans quarterback in just a matter of days? We've been talking about it for months. NFL Draft Week is here. How are you feeling about Cam Ward and his impending marriage with the Titans as round one approaches in just a few days? 615-737-1025. It's time for the fourth annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor and presented by Gary Force Acura. Cromwell Media, along with partners Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor, are proud to announce we will be back at Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, May 29th to make a difference while having a great time. You can join us and a few guest media members, athletes, and musicians as we raise money for Folds of Honor. Donations will go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com.
I think what you're hitting on, Russell, an interesting word that you settled on, the word settle, because that is the way I think everyone who it doesn't believe in Cam Ward's generational ability views he's being pushed up to the top of the draft board just because he's a quarterback and wouldn't ordinarily be at the top of the draft board if he was in a different draft, and so on and so forth, and that the Titans are settling for him. And all I would say is this. The front office and the coaching staff aren't just doing it just because they're tired and sick and tired of what they saw from Will Levis. They have to believe that Cam Ward is this good. They're not just doing it based on the fact that, well, we're not first overall too much more often, and we're at the top of the draft board, so we're just going to take the quarterback just because. They have to have grinded the tape and have talked to the kid in a way that we haven't. And all I would just say is in that you have to trust Russell, to be honest with you.
That was Rich Eisen answering a question from a listener named Russell about the Titans, quote unquote, settling for Cam Ward.
I was thinking for a second, who's Russell?
It was Russell in New Jersey. In New Jersey called the Rich Eisen Show and wondered if Rich Eisen.
I thought there was a new man in the front office named Russell. I was like, wait, they got Russell in there? I thought we were talking about Chad Brinker.
Hey, but we've received a lot of similar calls.
Russell Borgonzi? Yes. Is his middle name Russell?
Who knows? But we've received a lot of similar calls from listeners.
Named Russell, some named others. Other names.
Yes. Speaking of callers, Lance is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Lance, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Well, y'all was talking about a while ago with the Cowboys and stuff. I lived there back then, and, you know, Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson came into a situation where Jerry on the team, and he actually hadn't started taking his stupid pills yet and let Jimmy Johnson run it, and he built a team. But that first year, yes, everybody in Dallas was mad. Number one is they were 1-15. Number two is Jerry Jones fired Tom Landry. And there was Tom Landry that's the reason there was a hole in Texas Stadium so God could watch his football team play, is what we said in Texas.
That was a big story. That was a big story.
And you just, if you really get down to it, they don't give these kids time enough to mature anymore. Y'all are correctly, and the owners listen to the fans too much. And as Derek says, you listen to them too much, you're gonna be sitting with them. And that's he started listening. They started firing GMs. They started firing head coaches. And making stupid mistakes, and you end up picking first, and that's what's happened. And I don't think they should draft Cam Ward. I think that they should build a football team and then find their quarterback later. But I'm not getting a pick, and maybe they can't get enough for him to satisfy him. But I'll hang up and listen to your thoughts.
Thanks for the call,
Have
Lance.
A great day.
You as well.
And lies the problem. And I've said this before, and we've discussed this before. Do you trust, because everything that was laid out by Eisman was right. Like, these are the things, like, they got to grind the tape.
Rich Eisman was on it.
Yeah, they got to grind the tape. They got to do all of this. So they're doing all of these things to make sure that he is the right guy, not settling. Because as bad as we may think the Titans are, I don't believe that they settle for individuals, especially not right now when you're talking the first pick overall or first pick in the first round or second round. But if they believe after doing all of that, they believe that Cam Ward is the guy, then okay. But I don't think fans believe enough in the team that they did the grinding of the tape. Or if they did, because of past history, it's not going to matter. We don't trust you with the number one pick.
To that point, Skyler on our text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, says, I'm not arguing that Cam Ward isn't a great talent. I'm worried that the Titans franchise is going to fail the young man with a lack of talent around him, and then everybody will be fired in a year or two.
Well, that you can't help that if you're the Titans. You have to make the best decision that you think is best for the franchise. Exactly. You can't worry about the noise like that. That reputation preceded Borgonzi. He can't worry about that. Mm-hmm. Eisen's point that I thought was good as well is they could have chosen to table the quarterback mm-hmm. question for another year and gone with somebody else on the frontier, mm-hmm. as I talked about. We're going to have to close the book on the story of the frontier, it's the over. Quarterback frontier, because yeah. it's
for now.
Yeah. It looks like they've made the decision.
Yeah.
But they went this way. Eisen pointed that out. He said, you got to have faith that they have done the homework and decided that Ward is better. That's a better pathway to try to mm-hmm. choose than table it for a year and try to find a bounce back category and address the roster just because of all the factors at play.
So this idea of settling if the Titans draft Cam Ward, one thing that we have pointed out, it's been pointed out on other shows on our station, it's been pointed out by our callers and our texters, where Cam Ward ranks on lists of the top prospects in the NFL draft. Jeff Legwald, who's a veteran ESPN reporter, unveiled his...
And an original Tennessee Oilers beat writer yes. for the Tennessean.
He goes far back.
He goes way back. Yeah.
Jeff Legwald unveiled his list of the top 100 prospects in the NFL draft. He has Cam Ward at number 18 out of 100. Dane Brugler of The Athletic, the author of The Beast, the NFL Draft Guide. Dane Brugler, in his latest list of the top 300 prospects, Cam Ward locks in at number 13. So when we're talking about settling, I'm emphasizing that word, settling on Cam Ward. These lists, compiled by many different draft analysts, have Cam Ward in the low teens, the high teens, you know, 8, 9, 10, and we keep coming back to that when we're talking about, and Willie, this is, I think, the point you were making at the top of the show, that generally speaking, Cam Ward is not thought of as a number one overall pick caliber prospect. So if and when the Titans take him on Thursday night, that is going to be a topic of conversation. Did the Titans settle on Cam Ward because they needed a quarterback?
Well, not only is it going to be mm-hmm. the story on Thursday, it's going to be the story for years to come.
Mm-hmm.
And only time will tell as to whether that was a good decision or not.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's an interesting decision, is because he'll always be measured by he was the first pick in the draft, and the consensus was, because I don't think those are out of line. You can find 13, 18. You can find people as high as 6 or 8. But I don't think anybody that I've seen has him as the best pro prospect in this draft.
I feel like the highest I've seen recently, Mel Kiper, I think, had him at number 6.
Right.
I feel like that's the highest I've seen Cam Ward on these big boards, these top prospect lists.
But it doesn't matter where these big boards have him. It doesn't. He's a top prospect. That's all that matters. And what matters is where the Titans have him on their big board. If they have him as the number one player in their minds in the draft, then you draft him number one overall. That's the luxury sort of having the number one pick.
Wouldn't that be a good question to ask, which you probably wouldn't get the answer, but
an honest answer from
Mike Borgonzi. Did you have him number one on your board?
Because I don't think no GM is going to.
It's okay for him to say no, I don't think.
No, you can't say no.
But he's a quarterback.
You can't say no. Because if you're going to draft.
You can't say no?
No. You would be, I think it would be malpractice.
Really? So
yeah.
if you looked at him and said,
yes.
Derek, let's be honest here. Mm-hmm. He was not the top guy on our board, but he plays a position that is mm-hmm. so hard to find, and we think he's going to be an great quarterback for us. That's not an acceptable answer.
No, you can do that.
You have to lie and say, he was number one on our board.
You can do that in the second round, third round, maybe the third or fourth round. You could do that because it's like, okay, yeah, we didn't think, but we felt that was a need. We had a need in the third round. So we just, but when you're talking about the number one pick in the draft, no.
Okay.
This is
really the question.
Well,
I would agree.
The question
I would agree with Derek on this one.
He would be the number five. If we were ranking guys, you would be 18, but we felt, no, people were like, well, you shouldn't have drafted him.
Yes. I agree with Derek.
So you're just saying they shouldn't draft him then?
No, I'm not saying that.
You're saying if he's number one on their board.
I said as long as Cam Ward is number one on their board, in their mind, he's number one. He is the guy that's going to change our franchise. Then you do it. You draft him. If he's number two, number three, no. That's the luxury of having a number one pick. Because when you – and I guess that would be the downfall too, because if it's that close, what do you do?
I don't know. If the option is not to trade down.
Yeah.
Because I think we're all sitting there saying right now, if they got a phone call today and somebody offered them a great package for the first pick, I still think they would be interested in hearing that out.
I think at this point not to hear that.
If it was a legit offer, like, hey, you know, we'll throw you an extra third round pick, then the, you know, that ship has sailed for sure. But we're assuming when we have this discussion that that opportunity is not on the table right now.
Yeah, as long as the Titans, and listen, we may never know. We may know. I don't know. It may slip up and come out. I don't know. But as long as they have him as their number one prospect after they've evaluated their because, listen, it's not just being the number one prospect coming out of college. It's evaluating your team, where your team is at, how you get your team to, you know, how do we further develop our team? What does the landscape of the college guys that are coming out? Then you sort of set your board, I believe, because now I get a better sense of who I'm putting 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 in regards to my big board, because I've already assessed my team, my needs, and my want. Yeah, if Myles Garrett, the way he's playing right now, if he was coming out this year, no doubt he would be a number one pick. But what if you assessed your team, you looked at our needs, our things that we don't need, you assess your team right before the draft, and then you base your board based upon your team, not necessarily everybody else.
615-737-1025, by the way. This is the latest, or excuse me, the closest to the start of the NFL draft that there have been no trades for first-round picks. In the common draft era, at least. That's according to ESPN. The Joe Montana trade in 1993 came 5 days before the draft. This year now has surpassed that. So I do find that to be interesting as well. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts. Would the Titans be settling if they take Cam Ward with the number one overall pick in the NFL draft on Thursday? Let us know. 615-737-1025. Speaking of that phone number, be caller number three right now at 615-737-1025, and you will win a family four-pack of tickets to see the Nashville Sounds take on the Durham Bulls at First Horizon Park this Thursday. Caller number three, 615-737-1025. First pitch for that game, by the way, is at 6:35 p.m. We'll continue the conversation next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game. D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063, the game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Fog Street Lawn Club, Nashville's premier soccer pub and rooftop. Fog Street Lawn Club offers scrumptious bites, British lawn bowling, and premier soccer pub vibes. Get half off a $30 gift card now at thegamenashville.com/deals and dive into the ultimate rooftop experience. All right, so the question we were discussing before, would the Titans be settling, emphasis on the word settling, if they take Cam Ward number one overall? Let's get to your reaction on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Randy says, yes, they're settling, in my opinion. We won't know for sure until after they fire Callahan and he does a tell-all interview afterwards. Jeff says, guys, I don't care who you draft with the first pick looking for a franchise changer, but I know this. If the Titans field a pathetic offensive line again this season, you can put whoever you want behind center and it will be another year of paper bags passed out at the gates to wear on our heads again. Dustin from Hopkinsville says, they're settling at picking any quarterback number one. Other teams can develop these quarterbacks. We can't. Get a home run at quarterback. Well, who is a home run at quarterback? Is there going to be a home run at quarterback next year or the year after? We may be in the same situation. We meaning people who, you know, watch the NFL. Like, what if the quarterback class next year, we're having the same conversations? Well, you know, Arch Manning, he wouldn't go number one overall in a normal quarterback draft, but he's the best they've got, so he's going to go number one, or Drew Aller, or whomever. Like, how often do home runs come about? Rarely. So, I mean, that's where I am on this situation. Like, is Cam Ward, quote-unquote, a home run? I don't know. the people who know this stuff better than I do say, no, he's not. But there's also risk in waiting and hoping that the next crop of quarterbacks has a home run in it. Look back at recent quarterback drafts. Did people think that Bryce Young was going to be a home run? That hasn't worked out so far. Did people think that Anthony Richardson was going to be a home run? That hasn't worked out so far. So I think there's as much risk in passing on Cam Ward and hoping that you'll find that home run quarterback soon than taking him and again, hoping that he is. I think, like, I don't love the idea of, oh, we'll just wait and hope that somebody else comes around.
Again, it goes back to if you feel that he's your guy, then you draft him. Again, when you're talking to, you know, Titans fans, you know, they are anxious. Some are outraged. Some, you know, are to a point to where it's, you know, I wait and see with this team. But again, I go back to I don't think they have the faith in this organization that unless he's a surefire, like can't miss guy, let's just, I don't know. If indeed it is Andrew Luck.
Not to be confused with Drew Luck.
Drew Luck, yes.
Yes.
If Andrew Luck was coming out.
Who was, Drew Luck famously sat in the lounge in Nashville for the full first round and did not get picked.
Awkward.
Yeah. Very awkward.
It's always tough.
But if you have somebody like Andrew Luck where it's surefire, and I don't even think your organization can mess you up, then I think you feel more comfortable. But because Cam Ward, in their eyes, they don't believe Cam Ward is that type of prospect, then it's, okay, can I fall back on a coaching staff to develop him? Well, when you don't have an Andy Reid, when you don't have a Kyle Shanahan, when you don't have a McVay, when you don't have some of these other coordinators slash head coaches that has somehow been able to, because of them or because of the quarterback's coach, they've been able to develop a quarterback within their system and been very prosperous by doing it. Well, I don't think the fans trust that the Titans, outside of, you know, the pick being Andrew Luck, that the Titans can develop a quarterback. And if that's the case, I don't know if too many Andrew Lucks are on the horizon. We can look at Manning and say, well, no one's sitting here and raving about him like they did Andrew Luck. So unless there's an Andrew Luck coming out or a guy that develops into Andrew Luck, then you're going to be perpetually in the same thing over and over again.
I want to point out one thing in that Connor Orr article that I was referencing earlier at Sports Illustrated. He notes that in 2020, all four first-round quarterbacks, Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, and Jordan Love, made it to second contracts with their original teams. However, the following year, only one of the five first-rounders, Trevor Lawrence, made it to a second deal. Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, and Justin Fields were all on different rosters prior to the expiration of their rookie deals. The lone first-round quarterback selected in 2022, Kenny Pickett, is on his third team already. While it's too early to offer a judgment on the 2023 class, two of the first three quarterbacks selected, Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson, found themselves benched at some point during the 2024 season. But Willie, I want you to answer this question from a texter because I think it's a good one. Here is my argument regarding the settling comment when it comes to Cam Ward. Would it be settling if the Browns or Giants take him at 2 or 3? Or if better yet, if someone traded up to number 1 to get him? Or would it be considered a smash, slam dunk, home run?
For the Titans? If they traded up?
I think it's generally speaking.
So I guess his point is, unless somebody takes him between 6 and 18, mm-hmm. where he is, you know, the consensus has him, if anybody takes him above that, it's settling, is his point?
Let me read it again. Here is my argument regarding the settling comment. This is an unnamed texter. When it comes to Cam Ward, would it be settling if the Browns or the Giants take him at 2 or 3?
Yeah, I think in general, I see his point. He's saying anybody, mm-hmm. it's not just about the Titans. It's
right.
anybody yes. who would select a quarterback above where he is generally considered, where he falls.
Especially in this draft.
In this draft. And I think that is the consensus. And it's not the first time this has happened in NFL history. It's happened a lot. Quarterbacks always move up.
Yeah. Quarterback, they
get
the ball.
But we're talking about the first pick, mm-hmm. or maybe even the second or the third pick, when he is generally not graded that high, relative to everybody else on the board.
And what it's interesting because he put up impressive numbers last season. He threw for more than 4,300 yards. He threw for 39 touchdowns. According to Jordan Reed of ESPN, his 88.7 total QBR ranked second in the country, and his 29 completions of 20-plus air yards tied for fifth.
I think what happens is, and I don't know, it should be more of a plus than it is not. And I guess some guys, you know, it's a plus and some guys it's not. That you've watched, you know, from Incarnate Word to Washington State, then to Miami. You saw the development of this young man, and you saw him get better at each stage. So you know the ability to learn and to comprehend and to adapt and to always wanting to get better and develop. This is a part of his makeup. And it's not like he's had the same. He had to go from Incarnate Word to Washington State, which had a different system. Then Washington State to Miami, which had a different system. So this young man is capable of learning systems as quickly as he needs to. And not only learn them, but he's able to you know, go out and be, you know, more than efficient. You know, let's not forget, he was in the race to win the Heisman. He was one of the top four or five players when it was all said and done. So that should be more of a plus than anything. And I think I'm not sure if that's being used in his favor enough.
What's one part of the Cam Ward origin story we've heard a lot? He was a zero-star recruit coming out of high school. 24/7 Sports actually wrote an article about this the other day, that Cam Ward, should the Titans take him, he will be the first number one overall pick who was a zero-star recruit out of high school in their database's history. Now,
how long did their database
since 2000, go back? Since 2000.
But so, there's such thing as a late bloomer, though.
Right.
That is a very noteworthy stat.
It's part of the
but
story.
But it's not a disqualifier for me.
No,
it does happen that
right.
way.
I'm not saying that it is a disqualifying mm-hmm. aspect. I think it speaks to the strides that Cam Ward has made over the course of his career to go from a high school prospect with zero stars to the number one overall pick in the draft. That should count for something.
Well, I would rather have a guy, and this is why I think in this draft in particular, why he is regarded higher than say his next two or three, close competitors in a sense, is because his ceiling is a lot higher than they feel he still has room to grow. They look at Shador and his ceiling is probably not as high. They look at Jackson Dart or some of these other quarterbacks and the ceiling. They've just about reached their ceiling. Well, you look at Cam Ward, kind of like you looked at Richardson. I think Cam is further along than Anthony Richardson was and is even now. But I think the looking at these guys and the potential is so great. Like there's no limit to how good this guy can be. So, you know, if you're looking at it from that standpoint, then this is why you draft a guy like Cam Ward.
I think the theme that they will hit on when he goes up to that podium as the first pick will be exactly what you said. It won't be about the Titans as much as here's a guy that was a non-recruited mm-hmm. player out of high school, and now here he is as the first pick. That's the human interest story I think they will center on. And we should not overlook that story, even though I'm sure from the Titans' standpoint, that's great. Mm-hmm. But can he play for us? Is he going to win for us?
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your Cam Ward temperature check. How are you feeling about it now that the draft is here? It's this week. And by the way, let me tell you, not to miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on the Game Nashville Sports Network. We will be broadcasting live from Twin Peaks in Madison on Thursday and Friday from Boomba's Pizza and Watch Bar in East Nashville. Coverage begins at 6 o'clock each day, presented by Hardee's, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Twin Peaks, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, Shane Cohen Professional Home Improvements. But coming up next, the Predators, players, and Andrew Brunette addressed reporters for the final time this season on Friday. Some really interesting comments, including something that I noticed about Andrew Brunette that's making me wonder if he is less safe than I thought he was. And we'll discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.